Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney on KHDK Sports 1140 and HaneyBiz.com. Mark is a well-known local entrepreneur who has a passion for growing companies and uncovering the stories of other successful business people. Mark will share his and their experiences and hopes to ignite the entrepreneurial spirit within you. And now, here's Mark Haney.
The power of with the right business partners, anything is possible. With the right teammates, with the right supplier relationships, with the right customers, anything is possible in building our entrepreneurial dream. I'm Mark Haney, and I am here with Marcus Haney and Tom Cisneros. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good morning.
I am fired up. Yet another Saturday here.
All right. And I think I may have stayed up a little too late last night.
Yeah,
I
lost my voice. Eel event or something?
I was hanging out with my buddies, the Entrepreneurs Organization, and we had this event, and it ended at my house late. But I am here for you, fully caffeinated and ready to go, just with a little bit less in the voice, so I might be a little straining. But today is going to be a great show. We got great guests. But you know what? We talk about the power of with, and I recently heard from a friend that claims solitude is the death of an entrepreneur. Solitude is the death of an entrepreneur. Marcus, Tom, you guys think that's true?
God, that sounds so cryptic.
It does sound negative, and I hate it when that happens. But if being alone as an entrepreneur, I mean, how do we make it on our own?
Well, I think it's a challenge, right? I mean, when you're alone at the top and you have to make all the decisions, everybody's looking at you for the right answer every single time, and you have to deliver. I mean, that could be a little bit stressful.
I mean, success in that particular situation, it's got to be far and few between, right? I mean, there have been stories of who's the aviator guy? They did a movie about him. Leonardo DiCaprio played him. I can't even remember that guy's name. I feel but I mean, this guy was like this an amazing. Well, he's the guy that did the Spruce Goose thing, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know where you're going with this,
well,
Tom.
Well, he was
not part of the script.
Well, no,
Tom,
this guy,
where are you going?
My point is, he was recluse.
Yeah.
This guy did it on his own.
Yeah.
He didn't work with people. And I just say that is far and few between.
And I think you need
collaboration.
I think so. And I think nobody builds a business, a successful business that I know, on their own. And so many times people do feel alone when they're in a business, especially if you're a CEO. If you haven't surrounded yourself with the meaningful relationships, right, the key relationships that you need, you know, it does feel alone. And it takes a little bit of the joy away from the journey.
I guess that's why we're doing the show, right?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, people ask me sometimes, you know, okay, Mark, like, it just happened yesterday. Mark, who do you want to meet? Right? Right, Marcus?
I love that question.
Mark, who do you want to meet? People are always trying to connect me with somebody. And you know who I want to meet? The meaningful relations to me right now, the most meaningful relationships really that I enjoy the most are meeting real world entrepreneurs. The entrepreneur next door, my buddy Tom Candras, Package One. He is the entrepreneur next door. He's helping guys out, but he's a real world entrepreneur. And I hope that, you know, I always picture it as, Tom and I kind of do this a little bit, but I always picture in my mind, you know, that my next door neighbor comes over and he wants to kind of talk shop, talk a little biz. Hey, I got this little challenge. What do you think, Mark? And people asking me that kind of stuff all the time. I do that with Tom sometimes. He does that with me a little bit. We just kind of talk, you know, kind of talk shop, you know, not really advice like we're trying to teach, just kind of sharing the war stories. And that's how we learn. And those are helpful. And you're right, Marcus. That is what this show is all about. But what's the best way to get out there and meet those people, to connect? I mean, I was at a golf tournament with Alpine Mortgage just the other day, and, you know, it was a ton of fun. We had a good time. Robert Bouillard was out there. He generously donated a ton of his resources and money, and we ended up raising over $100,000 for wounded vets. So Alpine Mortgage, I want to thank you. But, you know, golfing is not the only – you could be out on the golf course, and you can meet some key relationships. But, you know, I always thought of golf as sort of that – for those guys that – those guys that aren't into politics, right? It gives the guys that aren't into politics something to lie about, right? What is, I mean, but to help keep us honest today, you know what? We are going to bring on some real world entrepreneurs. We're going to bring on two women that really are tearing the cover off the ball in their own way. We were going to have Carla Nelson with Swiss Avenue Partners up first, but she's going to come up second. And we're going to bring in Tanya Cagetta, the owner of Ovations Dance Studio. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHTK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my friends at Sun System Technologies, America's number one solar service provider. And today I am joined by Tanya Cagetta, my friend. We've talked about you coming on the show for a long time. Let's hear your story, Tanya. I mean, you have a dance studio called Ovations. Tell us about your business, but we want to get to know you too as well.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Thanks for having me. Good. Yeah, Ovations. It's my dance studio. I've had it for, we're in our 14th season.
Oh my God. I can't believe you have had a business 14 years. You're very young. I mean, I picture you as a King's cheerleader.
I know, right?
As sort of my visual, or as a little kid. I've known you since you were a child, you know, a little kid. But anyway, back to Ovations.
It's a great story. I actually bought the studio I grew up dancing in.
Oh,
I was 22 and a senior in college and a communication studies major looking to go into PR.
Yeah.
And the Sue Geller, who was the owner of the studio, came to me and said, "Hey, I'm looking to sell this place. You know, you're kind of the kid I never had.
And the protege.
You want, right? Here I am." And I had really been teaching for quite some time. I was actually on staff at American River College at the time. And so I said, "Yeah, why not?" So I negotiated my first business contract at 22, opened the doors at 23, and 14 years later,
The feeling though when you first decided to do it? What emotions went through your mind as you're signing that contract?
It was this really great, like, wow. I'm a little, it was scary. Okay, let's start there. It was really scary, and you know, she was a person with a lot of personality, and you know, she was my childhood mentor, and then having to, you know, turn that table around, that was a little tricky.
Yeah.
But we got through it, and I was proud. I was really proud of myself because I did it by myself. You know, my parents sent me in and said, "Hey, if you want to do this, you go get it." And I did it by myself. And it was at a booth at a Mountain Mike's Pizza.
That's where the deal got done?
That's where the deal got done.
And so, was it on a napkin?
No. It should have been on a napkin. That would have saved me a lot of stress if it was actually written on a napkin.
No,
it was great. And I'm happy. And making it. And then in the last 14 years, I've turned it into my own.
Yeah. How did you cageta-size it, if you will?
Right? It was Hale-sized at first, right?
Hale. Your maiden name is Hale.
You know, I did. It was, you know, I had a vision. I had a vision of what I wanted. And I wanted not to just embrace the dancer that had the feet and the turnout, but in dance, the kid, embrace the child that just loved dance and loved it. And, you know, rightfully maybe wasn't the best dancer out there, but had the heart for it. When you put the best, you know, the dancer up against the kid with the most spirit, it's amazing who comes.
Are there some kids that just have no rhythm? I mean, that would be me. I mean, my wife, I have zero rhythm when it comes to dancing. I can't move in any kind of,
there's naturals and there's unnaturals, but if you have the heart for it, anybody can dance.
Interesting. Now, when a student comes in, is there a progression that happens, that learning progression where there's something that they're shooting for in the end?
Yeah, we definitely have a ladder at Ovations that you can climb, and there's a set program there. But, you know, the student comes in because their parent signs them up.
Yeah.
And normally they're three or four. And I put my Miss Tanya hat on, and then you recognize who your client is. And your client is that three-year-old little girl standing there. And then you get into Miss Tanya mode / kind of mom mode a little bit, you know? And you just inspire them to love dance. And then they're not there because their parents are driving them. They're there because they say, "Mommy, I want to go to dance class." And then then we teach them the shuffle, and we teach them a plie. And they love it, and it feels good in their body. And they choose to spend their time, you know, dancing.
Yeah.
And if we can install that spirit and love and joy of dance in them, then they come back. So it's recognizing who your client is. And it's not the parents. It's the child.
That's your actual client is this three-year-old little girl. Are there boys that do it too?
We have a couple boys.
Yeah. It's more girls. You've grown the business too, right? Since when you first started, how many students do you guys have now?
Yeah, we're just like right at 300.
Okay.
And so, it's it's a good number, you know? It's like, I know the name of every single one of my kids. And that's important, you know? So, you know, it's a strong number, and we're able to put on great shows because of the number of kids we have, but it's more about, you know, knowing your clients.
Yeah, yeah. I know you love these kids. You used the term mom, and it just makes me think you have the entrepreneurial gene. I know your parents very well. They were, your mom was entrepreneurial in her way in running a daycare, if you will. And my kids both were potty trained.
By my mom,
At your house.
Yeah.
But you have an entrepreneurial gene. Your dad has it. He's got the automotive business. But the rest of the brothers and sisters didn't necessarily get the entrepreneurial gene. How did you end up with it?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, we were raised in a Chevron family. So I grew up, you know, with going to Chevron conventions and stuff. Yeah. And we all did the same thing. Raised by the same two people.
Right.
You know? And I'm a really good mix of my mom and my dad. I have that nurturing mom. And then I have my dad's business fire in me. My brother has a PhD in education. My sister's a nurse,
Driven people, but didn't go on to the business route.
I know, it's that, you know, that spicy middle child.
Talk about spicy. You were a King's cheerleader.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can't let that go untouched here. What was that like?
Oh my gosh, it was just fun. I mean, I was 19, I was young, I was naive.
You've been dancing like this whole time at the dance studio, teaching dance, and now you're out in front of all these people, all these guys, you know, trying to watch you guys dance. Well, the girls, too.
It was mainly the guys.
Yeah.
So, it was great. And I have to say, you know, that experience was great. I mean, there's nothing like being on, you know, I was sitting on the floor of game 5, went up against Utah with Vivian. I mean, was there on the floor. I mean, those times you can't even put a price tag on that. It was unbelievable. But it's just the friendships, the sisterhood. I mean, some of my best friends that I have today, I mean, Jenny Smith's my best friend. And I met her, you know, when I was 19, dancing on Kings. And now we're all moms. And a lot of us have stayed in the dance industry and made studios of it. And we get together. Last year we were on the court, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
Keeps you
like
young.
A reunion type
It was
thing.
A reunion, yeah.
That's great. And then the new arena, are you guys going to be out at the new arena?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely have to bring you to a game or two. But I'm sure you guys will be out there at a reunion dancing it up in front of
the stands. Yeah, let us on the new floor.
That's great. Now, you know, you talked about relationships, and you have these relationships. And I've always respected that about you and your family, about how your relationships, you know, they're lasting. Who are the key relationships in business besides your client, the child? Who are the other key business relationships that are most important to nurture?
You know, it's just, mine's my staff.
Okay.
You know, it's not a one-man show. You know, I have a staff of 14, and those relationships are important. And having a staff of artistic people can be tough at times.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, making them understand our client and understand my vision, and then continuing Ovations in a direction that I want to see it go in, but then saying, okay, now I want you to be artistic and choreographed. So those relationships are really important to me, and I have a fantastic staff. I mean, these people are... They are caring, they are kind, they are nurturing, and they're just nice, good people.
Is there anybody who you would credit, besides yourself, any relationship you would help that would be most, impactful in your success?
Well, I mean, I think it changes. I mean, in the beginning, it was my parents. Yeah. I mean, I really couldn't have done it without them. And now, you know, now I'm married, and I have a son, and my husband, Scott, and Jack. I mean, I couldn't do it without them now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's... You know, I mean, there's a time where I have to be there and I can't be home. And so, yeah, it's really just the family.
People
base.
Standing by your side this whole way through. And I know your parents. I mean, what would you say to your parents right now as far as like mom, dad, you know, what your feelings are towards them and how they stood by you?
Oh, my parents are fantastic. I love them. I tell them I love them every single day. And they're, you know, you better be listening, first of all. And, you know, they weren't there for me when I was just a child or for when I started my business. I mean, it's like, okay, guys, mark your calendars. We've got Christmas show coming up on the 10th, you know, and they're there in the lobby still to this day selling tickets with Scott, you know, and they're still there for me and I can count on them and they know they can count on me now, you know, and so I love them. They know I love them. And that's important, you know what I mean, to like just have that bond. And I appreciate every single thing they've done for me.
That's incredible. They're great people. And we're going to bring Tanya on a little bit later in the show. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a woman entrepreneur. And we're going to have her share the mic with our next guest. Miss Carla Nelson will be on the show here just in a minute after we take a break. Carla is the partner at Swiss Avenue Partners, and she's doing a ton of entrepreneurial things. I'm working on some stuff with her that's very cool. I think it'll be a little game-changing for the entrepreneurial community here in Sacramento. Join the conversation here on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, and we'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my friends at Sun Systems Technology, America's number one solar service provider. I'm Mark Haney, and today I have the privilege of being joined by Carla Nelson, the founder and CEO of Swiss Avenue Partners. You're a Swiss Avenue partner, and I want to hear about that, but you got some other entrepreneurial ventures that you're on top of. I don't know how many things you're doing right now. Give us an overview of your background in entrepreneurship, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on the show, Mark. What a pleasure. So I got started when I was about 20 years old, and my background was finance.
Okay.
Actually, when you go back to my original entrepreneurial roots, I would go and buy things wholesale in probably middle school and then take it to school and sell it.
You sell it to your friends.
Yeah. And so that's where it kind of started.
What did you buy to sell? What was that? That was legal,
anything,
right?
Okay. Anything that was really popular.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So it didn't matter if it was the pencils or I remember one of the most profitable was Lee Press-On Nails, actually.
Oh, wow.
You could go.
I remember
those. Yeah. And so
I didn't wear them that often. Then you progressed from middle school and at 20, you started doing some other entrepreneurial stuff.
Well, actually, about 15, I realized that you could make a lot of money in the restaurant business in food service. So I knew I couldn't be a food server quite yet at 15. So I had a strategy. I started out at Marie Callender's, moved up to Black Angus, and then ended up at Piatti down there. I think I was 18 when I negotiated a hostess position, even though I was already a food server. Literally, my clients that came and asked for my section were Buzz Oates. Yeah,
all the big time entrepreneurs of the town.
Yeah, I should have started my database back then too. By the way,
yeah.
I didn't actually realize that until 2 years into the real estate vertical because I got recruited by a gal. Her name was Mary Lou Oakes. She was the regional vice president for financial title, and she sat in my section. And in order to be at that level, we actually had this huge VIP thing that we had to learn the names and what they did, what they ate, what they drank, everything. And so she sat in my section. I had never seen her before, but I knew her name. I knew what she liked to order. And I said, Caprese salad and cranberry light ice, Mary Lou. And she looked at me and said, I've got a job for you.
Let's fast forward a little bit. So you moved through the real estate business and you migrated to more recent stuff where you've been helping people raise money, right?
Oh,
to
absolutely.
Build businesses, putting connections together. I think you're probably as good a connector as I've ever met in my life. But you're a deal maker. And I'm wondering, that probably started from grammar school or at middle school.
Oh, absolutely. It's all about people. Everything's about relationships. It doesn't matter if it's the relationship with your team, the relationship with your customer or client, or the relationship with your promoter / channel partner. Everything lives on the value and the connectedness you have with everyone around you. And so I always say I'm just a collector of great people.
Uh-huh.
I really like the Henry Ford model, which is I don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but I definitely need to know. Because you solve problems with people. And when you find that great individual, you have to nurture that relationship. It's just like anything. Initially, find value, create value. And I know it, Kevin Bacon's 6 degrees of separation. I'd actually venture to say with our connectedness now with technology is even less than 6 degrees of separation. And so you solve problems with people.
Now you talk about solving problems with people. What kind of problems is Carla Nelson solving these days?
So right now, well, my goodness, I have several different companies, the first of which I'm a partner. I was the first client of, my goodness, 18 years ago. And so when I launched my first business, which was in the mortgage vertical, I hired a mentor to come in. He actually lived in London at the time and teach me how to be a CEO. So we've created a technology called TiVo, which identifies, it basically mirrors FICO and identifies the total enterprise value opportunity in business. And so, you know, how do you identify if that's a great business to invest in or not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when you look at
the TiVo score,
Okay,
gotcha.
Yeah. And so that is a huge issue in regards to middle market companies right now, because typically it's people like you and I, Mark, who we found a niche, we found a problem to solve, and then we go solve it.
Right.
But we're not necessarily trained in what's the value of that company? What's your multiple? You know, most people think growing revenue is the most important thing in your business. Yeah, well, guess what? Even if you sold 100 million and it cost you 101 million.
If you're not making money, it does make it a little less valuable, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And so there's two different points. One is, you know, the value of the company. And then the other is, what is the risk if somebody else were mm-hmm. to step into that company? And so that's a huge challenge that a lot of, especially mid-market companies have. So training and teaching in that regard, we have a lighting company that is just absolutely fun and fantastic. We have also just recently launched something called the California Edge Fund.
Yes, it's a secret, but you could talk about it here. All right, let's tease it a little bit here. Okay, what is it?
Well, we're in conjunction with Ernesto Ciroli, and if anyone hasn't seen his TED Talk, it's fantastic. The name of it is If You Want to Help Someone Shut Up and Listen, and it has just under 3 million views. And he has, for the last 30 years, done economic development in 300 communities internationally, launched over 60,000 businesses. And so just a little teaser about what's coming up.
It is right around the corner, and we're going to be looking for the entrepreneurial community to come together. And it's really going to help entrepreneurs so that they don't feel so alone. We're going to basically adopt a handful of entrepreneurs and help them change their lives.
Which I love that, Mark. One of Ernesto's favorite quotes of mine is, "The death of an entrepreneur is solitude." And so many times we think we have to go it alone and we have to do everything. And I remember my first company that I launched, I did do that. I was the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. And then quickly I realized that that was not the best strategy.
Sometimes it's best to focus on what you're great at, right?
Absolutely. And then find other people that can see that light in you. And so one of my first business partners, who was actually my husband, who passed away, but almost, I couldn't believe, I thought it this morning, almost 5 years ago, I didn't realize that it was so important to find somebody that believes in you. So at first you go it and it's your gut saying, I believe in myself. But the best part is when you can find someone who says, I believe in you and I see this in you and that's your strength, and really shining a light on that. So that I found that the more people that believed in me, the more I started believing in myself.
And there's a handful of us, Tom Candris, me, Dave Sanders. We believe in you, and we appreciate your leadership on the California Edge, and can't wait to kick it off here soon. But you touched on the setback. That's not even a term I can even say, relate to in this conversation, but your husband passed away.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been just unbelievable disruption to everything you had going. Could you talk about it for just a second?
Absolutely. You know, like a lot of things in life, we learn so much. And I always like to say, you know, there's beauty within tragedy, because it was the most tragic thing that's ever, and I've had a lot of things happen, but he was also my business partner. His nickname was Spreadsheets.
He was
my numbers guy. And so, and literally, what I found is that in the most dire situation, the true power of an individual is the choice of, is this going to get me, or am I going to still take it head on with a smile on my face? We had to run our three companies from a hospital for just about a year. He was literally in the hospital for a year. And the doctors were so amazed how happy and how we still, I would take appointments even in the cafeteria. So it was really, it's a test of your character at that moment when everything seems like it's going to, you know, fall apart. Obviously, he knew that the, I mean, he still never gave up, but that's a real testament of character. And I'll never forget the one time just before the last time he was in the hospital, and he really loved Christmas, and it was getting him in this one moment where he just, you could tell he just, this really stinks. He really wanted to make it to Christmas. And he kind of got choked up, and I looked at him, and it was the only time I think I actually had to be the cheerleader it was actually physically, you know, affecting him. And I looked at Scott and I said, "Hey, is that the way you want to go out?" And he literally put a smile on his face and said, "No, I'm not going to let this get me." And so being, a lot of people say, "Gosh, how did you go through that?" Well, interestingly, it's actually one of the most inspiring but challenging moments, right? Because none of us are getting out of this alive.
Yeah.
So in, and so when I get challenged, or I think that things aren't going to work out, or because that's entrepreneurship. Yeah. Like, you're risking everything in pursuit of this dream and this thing that you somehow think you can create and turn this thought into a thing. But it's really at those low moments that you get to choose.
What a set of choices we're all faced with. Carla, I want to thank you for sharing a story about Scott and how you have battled to bounce back. And, you know, I know that you touched on that spreadsheets. He was the one that believed in you. And to lose that person, just, I can't, you know, it's really tough to imagine, but I want to thank you for sharing that very personal story.
Well, and
on the show,
it always ends up so much better than we thought. You know, I thought I was going to be single the rest of my life. A year later, I meet an amazing guy, you know, Kevin. And so you just have faith, right? You never know how it's going to turn out.
Everything is going to be okay. When we come back, we're going to bring back on Tanya Kagetta. Carla's going to stick around. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a woman entrepreneur, something I've always wanted to know. We're going to figure that out. And how is that different than being a guy? This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, and we're coming back on KCK Sports 1140 in just a minute.
He's one of the most...
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by my friends at Sun Systems Technology, America's number one solar service provider. And I'm back here with Tanya Kagetta and Carla Nelson, entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial women that are really taking it to business right here in Sacramento. Let's start with you, Tanya, because, you know, we talked about your experiences. You owned Ovations Dance Studio, and you're an entrepreneur. What's it like being a woman as compared to being a guy? You're right. Your husband's an entrepreneur as well. Scotty, how is it different being a guy or being a woman versus being a guy, you think?
You know, I don't see the struggle so much on a day-to-day basis. You know, I'm kind of got myself buried in the studio with all my kids. It's kind of a little bit of girl power there anyways, you know. We got Chancellor and Randy, but it's mainly girls. You know, I think I've ran into it the most, you know, dealing with like my landlords and things like that, you know, where, you know, you're negotiating, you know, with the powerful guys.
Yeah.
And, you know,
do you think you've ever been discriminated against? Like, oh, look at this young girl. I'm going to try to get one up on her, I guess, in terms of negotiations.
By nobody in the studio.
Okay.
Okay, let's just start there.
Yeah.
You know, outside the studio, you know, with people that own the building and things like that.
Okay.
I'm 100%. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. But you know what? I have to say, you know, my grandma, she ran that show over the Chevron station. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I,
Jean West.
Yeah.
she is awesome. And she's a hard-charging businesswoman, too, with her husband, Jack.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, so I was inspired by her. And,
you know how to play the game.
Yeah. But, you know, there is definitely time. There's that balance. There's the mom, you know, the full-time job I have is to be Jack's mom, you know? And so there is that, you know, that mom balance and the guilt of when I'm not there, but you know, but being a successful mom is also being a successful business owner because, you know, if I could make that run in a great way and that fulfills that kind of void, not void, but, you know, if it wasn't there, there'd be something missing.
Yeah.
And so it completes me as a person, which makes me a better mom and a better wife. And that fills those voids.
That's
awesome. And I'm showing him that girls are tough, too.
Fight like a girl, right?
Yeah.
You know, Carla, you have a different kind of business. When Tanya walks into the dance studio, you expect to have a woman owning the dance studio. That's it's an occupation that's heavily dominated by females. Totally. Now, in your world, raising capital, putting guys like me and Tom Candris together, or you know, us entrepreneurial guys, you're putting us together and trying to raise money to help us launch stuff. Mm-hmm. That's a man's world.
Oh, it is.
How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is you really have to have confidence that, you know, you have something that is unique that you bring to the table. Yeah. And also, don't try to be like the guys.
Yeah.
You can be yourself. And it brings something new to the table. Being young and a female was very challenging in the financial services world, right? I remember putting my hair up and wearing glasses when I didn't need them at the time.
Uh-huh.
And basically, people would say, wow, you look young. And of course I was. But
yeah.
I would just say, well, thank you.
And move on. Right? That's awesome. So, you know, of course you have been discriminated against, but you battle through it with your confidence and your charm and being yourself. But, I mean, Tanya touched on being a mom, right? You're being a mom, but you're also a successful business person. How do you contrast those two responsibilities?
You bet. And I agree with you fully. Being a great entrepreneur and being a great mom and a wife is actually very similar in the fact that you're coordinating so many things. And at the end of the day, you're a servant to all. And so it's really about focusing on how do I invest my time, energy, and effort for the benefit of everybody doing better and being better, doing beautifully what you love. And I love being a mom. I also love business. And one of the things Tanya talked about was the guilt. And I think early on, that was a real big challenge for me, is how do I balance growing these little people and then also my business? Because it takes a lot of time, energy, and effort, depending especially on what cycle. And I have six of them, so they I don't do anything alone. That's number one. But number one is have a team, right? And balance the two. But also, I've come to the realization that they're teachers. And their other support.
Yeah.
And their dance teachers, right?
Takes a village.
It takes a village. And so be okay with that.
Yeah.
Be okay that it takes, and just like a great business, there's many different strengths and many different people. And the more that you have that diversity, the stronger that you're going to be.
If you can align yourself with the right team, what a concept. We only have a minute left, Tanya. Any closing, advice for moms or women that are thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe I should be an entrepreneur. Maybe I should take that leap and go for it. Any closing thoughts or advice?
Yeah, I just think that you could stick to your gut. Like, you know, you probably have a vision for exactly what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, take those morals that you have, take the vision and find that niche in the gap in the market and go with it. And don't let anybody stand in your way.
Don't let anyone stand in your way. I want to thank you, Tanya. I want to thank you, Carla, for coming on the show today. You are phenomenal. I know our Facebook viewers loved it, loved the video. We do it on Facebook Live and YouTube, and it's not just a radio show, my friend. So thanks for coming on the show. I want to thank our sponsor, Ethan Conrad, who owns properties all over the area. He does all kinds of stuff, and he's got signs everywhere. If you need some industrial or office or retail space, Ethan Conrad is the man. You want more Mark Haney? I am going to be all over town this next week. I think I don't have time to go into everywhere I'm going to be. I think the next thing I'm going to be is at the YPO Chamber event in Roseville on the 28th, but I'm all over Sacramento, emceeing this and that, and I'll be sharing more of that in the coming weeks. A little personal endorsement. My wife just picked up the Q7. Luke Smith, thank you. Made her a heck of a deal. Great experience. I never even entered the showroom. I've been in the showroom because they're sponsors and they're friends, but I wasn't involved in the car buying at all. So, Luke, thanks for taking care of my wife. Had a great experience. And what I like best is I got to do what I do best, which is a whole lot of nothing. So, thanks a lot, Mr. Luke Smith, for taking care of it. Don't miss next week. We're going to have Barry Broom, the CEO of Greater Sacramento Area Economic Council, also known as GSAC. He'll be coming on with Abhi Namani, Chief Innovation Officer with the City of Sacramento. When I return, I will share my closing thoughts and some takeaways about today's show. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com. How do you learn develop an understanding or a belief system about what life is all about. I mean, can you learn more by looking at life through a telescope or through a microscope? I mean, I've always kind of had the belief that maybe I need to look in internally a little bit, more than externally. And today on the show, we had two women that really shared some heartfelt stories about who they are deep inside. And, you know, I heard that everybody matters, right? Everybody matters when it comes down to it. It doesn't matter who you are. We've all got things that we're great at. We've got things that maybe we're not as good at. But if you have the right people around you, right, anything is possible. And I was thinking about, you know, today's, we've been talking about key relationships, and I ran into my plumber yesterday. He was, you know, we had to have him out to fix the sink. And I remember Jim Mom running into him a couple years ago, and I was sitting at the bar with my brother Paul. Paul and I had just connected up. We hadn't seen each other in a little bit. After selling the companies and stuff, and we're kind of hanging out there, getting ready to have a beer. And I see Jim Mom next to me, and I didn't know him very well. I'd done a little bit of plumbing stuff with him in the past, and he said, "Hey, Mark, I want to buy you a beer." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks. Jim Mom, you know, I didn't even put it together that it was him." But I just thought to myself, you know what? That is so cool. And all he did was buy me a beer, but it really hit me. Of course, I like beer a lot, but it hit me that a guy that I don't know very well is just sitting there, and he knew about our Allegiant Giving stuff and stuff we were doing for Action Track Chairs, and I knew that he was a big fisherman and stuff because he knows my buddy Kent Brown. And, you know, we kind of connected and bonded on that over a beer, and I just thought to myself, you know what? That guy's my plumber for life. You know what I mean? He bought me a beer, and he's a friend for life. And I always thought that, you know, we talk about what we look at when we look at people and individuals and stuff like that. And I always look at, you know, we look at their resume. We look at the qualifications. We look at, you know, what school did you go to? What have you done in business? Those are parts of what we look at when we're deciding about business partners and key relationships. But isn't it more about what's deep inside the person? Isn't it about, you got the resume merits, right? Those are important. But isn't it more important about the eulogy merits, right? Who we want people to, what we want people to think about maybe at the end of the day. And Carla talked about, you know, that spreadsheets believed in her, right? And it's that, you know, it was what was inside that mattered more than any of these resumes. When we talk about who we surround ourselves with, it's what's inside. You can learn so much more, in my opinion, about life and what life is really all about by looking inside at the person and even looking inside at yourself. Back here with Marcus Haney, Tom Cisneros. Anything that jumps out to you guys today? I mean, how do you get a deeper understanding of life? Telescope or microscope, gents?
I like the microscope deal. When you said that you looked internally, you know, you got to know who the heck you are.
Yeah.
You got to understand what you're about, what you believe in. Those ladies, class acts. Yeah.
And they have value systems that overlap with what we believe. And you're attracted to that because of the commonality, even though they're different.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marcus?
I think you have to use both tools. I think you have to have that telescope to look at your vision, where you're headed, what's to come, but then also have the ability to toggle back to the microscope and figure out what you need to do on a daily basis that's going to drive you to that next success point.
Well, the telescope, I mean, that makes a lot of sense if you're doing interplanetary travel. You don't want to run into Pluto, and you certainly don't want to run into Uranus.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Tom. Well, we never, Tom always here to light it up. You know, but on a serious note, you know, we're talking about, you never forget where you came from. When Tanya talked about her parents and the way these two guys are giggling over here on Facebook Live, and I'm trying to say this with a straight face, but seriously, though, when Tanya talked about her parents, I mean, that was like, wow, that was, you never forget where you came from. And I think you can never, I don't know, people are so easy to misjudge, I think, at times. Everybody matters, everybody's different, and everybody's got qualities that that are to be respected. And the other day, Marcus and I met with John L. Sullivan, right? And John L.
What a guy.
Sullivan owns, I don't know how many car dealerships. He's going to come on the show in a few weeks. But I didn't know John L. Sullivan very well. I knew of him, and I knew that he was about my dad's age and that he was very successful. But you know what? This guy was like one of the warmest guys I can ever, you know, I could imagine meeting for and such success. Anyway, he's telling the story about when he first bought Cadell Chevrolet and, you know, he had some turnover. Office manager quits. There's a lot of chaos after he bought the company. But he was walking by. He's like, what am I going to do? And there's this one guy. And he was processing invoices and for warranty claims and that kind of thing. And he was a hardworking guy. And he had a nice smile. And he asked that guy, you want to be my office manager? And that guy said, sure, and he lit up. And that man had one arm, right? That guy had one. That was back in the day when you're having to you move paper around. And, you know, this guy could do it with one arm. And you know what? He said that guy's name was Ken Burdick. And I'm like, whoa, Ken Burdick, that guy, I know that guy from Little League. He could play baseball one-handed. And what an inspiration that he was to all of us young guys in Little League that he had done so much. I talked to my buddy Bob Garrison, my partner on the concrete company, and Bob said he had caught at least 5,000 hours of pitches, batting practice from Ken Burdick. And anyway, that made me think about the lasting relationships that we have and where they come from. And I'm wearing my Wildcats shirt today, and I'm going to share a quick story. And Marcus was 16, and I was coaching a Little League team or a baseball team. We won the West, and we were up in Washington getting ready to play. We're getting ready to go play the game and up in Washington. And I remembered when I was 15, I had one of those teams that went really far in All-Stars. And I remember one of the people in that, my coach, John Wallace, was there, and he made a big difference in my life. And then I remembered his wife and how she had kind of, Charlene, and she had picked us out as being, picked me out as being something special. And she had cancer. And I went over there, and it turned out John answered the door, and he said, I can't talk right now because Charlene was about to pass away. And I just felt so horrible. I'm getting ready to go coach a Little League team, a team like what I was on with them. And I decided I'm going to go write her a letter. And I wrote this letter, and I went back and I handed it back to John. And I went to Washington to coach the team. And right before I left, we had the plane tickets and everything. Charlene passed away. And so I'm up there. What do I do? Do I stay back to go to the funeral? Or do I go to Washington? So I went to Washington and decided, we're playing, and my team's going to the finals. And then all of a sudden, one of the games ended, and we're getting ready to advance. And I said, hey, guys, I got to go home tomorrow. And the team was like, what's going on? And I said, well, where you guys are at right now, I was in a similar situation, and somebody was kind to me at that time, and her name was Charlene. I have to go back for her funeral. And so I went back to the funeral, and I was with my daughter, and it was one of those funerals that was very, very quiet and solemn. Nobody wanted to get up and talk. And it was at the very end of the funeral, and the preacher said, I have this letter from this young man who was really touched by this woman, and shows that everybody matters. It went a little bit like this. The letter said, call me Charlene. I can still remember the first time that you insisted that I call you Charlene and not Mrs. Wallace. We were on your front porch making homemade ice cream about 31 years ago. I'd shown up early for Kevin or Jerry's birthday party, and you were the only one home. You allowed me to add salt, turn the crank, as we got to know each other better. I had never tasted homemade ice cream before, and I had certainly never felt as warm of a feeling from a friend's parent as I felt after spending time with you that afternoon. And as we wrapped up the project, I told you, thanks, Mrs. Wallace. And you gave me a big hug. He said, call me Charlene. I will never forget those words, that hug, or the other hugs that you've given me. throughout the years. And within a year, our family moved out to the old neighborhood. The next hug I remember was about 5 years later on Renfrew Field in Sacramento. It was that exciting 15-year-old all-star year. John was coaching. I was an outfielder that hadn't really contributed too much offensively or defensively to any huge extent. I was a role player. But during that final game and during each game, I think I surprised a few people, and particularly myself, but you called me a hero. Hero Haney. I truly felt like a hero. That was an incredible summer. You made all of us players and all the families feel like one big family, and you made another lasting impression on me. Years later, when my mom had arthritis, you were there for her, and you continued to be there for her and my family throughout her brain surgery and rehab. You were there when things were toughest, and you have continued to be there for all of us. The hug you gave me at my dad's burial was the best hug I ever had. That hug somehow told me without words that you knew everything I was feeling. It was a long, steady hug, and I wished I could have stayed in your arms all afternoon. I felt safe. I feel an incredible amount of gratitude toward you for all that you have done for me and my family. Our world is a better place because of you, Charlene. You are my hero. I've been thinking about you every day, and I guess it's probably because you're going to heaven before I do. But I'm not as scared to die as I once was, because I know you'll be there. I picture myself saying, "I missed you, Mrs. Wallace." And then you give me a big, huge hug and whisper to me, "Call me Charlene. I love you. Never above you. Never below you.
Always by your side.